Before we pray, let us read a word, a couple of verses from Psalms 119. At first, from verse 153, and then from 169. Psalms 119 from 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Then 159 in the same psalm. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Especially these two verses which we just read. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. These are thoughts which are well-pleasing to God, which come forth from a deep prayer, which is not worked from the mind and intellect, but worked by the Spirit of God, ascending to the throne of grace. Today, this shall be mine and your prayer. Today, God wants to answer you and me together. Just now, we will come before his presence. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Lord, give me new life according to your grace. All the content of your word is truth. And every promise is valid forever. What a confidence, what a trust speaks from this word. People with whom God has spoken, they have a right to again speak with God and to express that what God's holy speaking worked in them. We are not here to do as the heathen are doing it, to make many words. We are here to have an encounter with God and just with a few words saying him much. For he is also able by a few words to say much. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Beloved, this is God's word, which today, at the beginning of this service, is called out to us, that in us a confidence and a faith is awakened. We are coming to God, not as guests and strangers, but as citizens of God, as his housemates, as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We are coming to him. And the Lord said, if you, who you are evil, are able to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father in heaven will give you good things, or his Spirit, to all them who ask him. And already in the Old Testament, the expression came forth, give us, or give me, new life according to your grace. This new divine life shall come forth in us by his grace. May God bless us. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, together we are coming into your holy presence. Lord, we don't take it for granted. We recognize that it is grace, for you have spoken to us. You quickened your word, and the fellowship you established to us. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the reconciliation and forgiveness, for your precious and holy blood which you shed. We thank you for your holy word, which remains forever the truth, and which found entrance into our hearts. We thank you that you made the letter a living revelation of the Spirit in our hearts. Beloved Lord, be today as the head of your church among your members. Revive us all anew. Dear Savior, we place this meeting under the protection of your blood, you, the Lamb of God, and under the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, destroy all the works of Satan and establish and build your work among your people. Lord, take everything away what disturbs. Let everything be silent. And let us also keep quiet so that you can speak to us. O Lord, give us a close relationship before your presence, so that we are not only bodily present, but that we are with you with our soul and with your word, so that you can speak to us, giving us new life by your grace. Lord, you know my heart. I want to stand my ground with them before you on the day when you return. O God, give grace to speak and grace to hear. Let it be a meeting with you, our Redeemer. Speak thyself to us through your word and through your Spirit. Praise, honor, and glory be unto you, the Almighty God, from eternity to eternity, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I was thinking on the word of Luke 1. I was reading it. Now I want to go into it. And may God bless us. Luke chapter 1 from verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. I want to go briefly into this word. In the Old Testament, many offerings were given, sin offerings, burnt offerings, many offerings were given. But there was only one offering on which all of the children of Israel during the whole hour of the bringing of the offering were on their faces praying before God. And this was such an hour of which we read here. When Zacharias administered his office, and when he brought the offering according to the law, all of the multitude of the people of Israel, they were not discussing, not talking, but they were on their faces praying in the presence of God. And God answered. God heard them. God blessed them. God spoke. God sent Gabriel and let Zacharias know that the prayers were heard and that they will have a son whom he then shall call John. Beloved, this really touched me. The things in the house of God must be coordinated. They must be in a divine order and in a heavenly harmony taking place on earth if they happen in the will of God. This was so at that time, and it is so today. When we now read that Zacharias was chosen by a lot, you all know, when a lot is cast, then one is chosen from many. And it was David who already in the Old Testament, he could say, the lot is fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have received a great heritage. What was it? The men of God recognized that God planned something with them. Outwardly, it might have looked like as if these men who were casting lots, that they didn't know what they wanted and which decision they should make, whom they should appoint. But God knew it. And this is enough. In the kingdom of God, it is better to have a large number who don't know what and who shall do it, and to leave it up to God so that He can do it according to His will, as then a great number would come together and each one knows exactly already what shall be done. And at the end, everyone knows only that what he wants to have done, and not that what God, according to His word, at that time and hour, wants to do. At that time, the day was come on which God wanted to answer. And when 100 people would have been gathered there, then the lot would have fallen on the right one, on the 100, among 1,000, and also among 1,000,000. With God, there is no coincidence. We can rely on God 100%, and also in your and in my life. the lot of God has fallen, and we were called out. He went into the temple. The offering was brought. It was a smoke offering. And I will read you from the Old Testament and from the book of Revelation that with a smoke incense, the smoke which ascended up to God should at the same time symbolize that the prayers of the saints ascend in the same way to God as this smoke ascended up to God. You all know that God in the Old Testament, He showed everything by symbols to show the people the deep and hidden significance of the true meaning. We can read this in Exodus 29 and 30. It's a wonderful word which we cannot bypass. Exodus 29 from verse 43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Then from verse 6, and thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Beloved, here we are told that it is in connection with the preparation of the golden lampstand, upon which the seven lamps were put and lit. And we have heard much about it, because the golden lampstand from the Old Testament had already a meaning for the New Testament. Here, the altar before the veil should be built. and the Ark of the Covenant stand opposite of it. In the Ark of the Covenant was the Word of God, the making of the covenant of God with Israel. And the people of Israel was a covenant people. There was a testament, a making of a covenant. It was not a loose flock, but the church of the living God. In this connection, a smoke offering should be given, which serves as a smoke incense to the Lord. Let us read from the book of Revelation, one scripture, from Revelation chapter 10, perhaps chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 from verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. This is a word which is connected with the opening of the seventh seal, making the completion of all of the plan of salvation. It was written down. Coming back to Luke chapter 1, it was the time of the smoke offering, and all of the church was in prayer. And then it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. If one looks up this name, there's the other form, the Hebrew form. It says Jehoshua. And if one follows up that matter, then one knows what it means. When you have the Menge translation, you can read it down in a footnote. Whom God is merciful. To whom God is merciful. Who was this John? He should make the bridge between the Old and the New Testament, between the law and grace, between condemnation and acquittal. And exactly this took place. Whom God is merciful, already at Moses' time, the Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Beloved, at the first coming of Christ, personal prophecies were fulfilled. Not only prophecies in general, but a personal prophecy referring to the forerunner of Christ came to fulfillment. All of the people of Israel, they should see the salvation of God. But that all of the people could see the salvation of God, the Lord sent His messenger before Him. A man after the heart of God. A man sent from God. God made the choice. All the people prayed. The hour was come. God spoke. Thou shalt have a son, whom he shall call John. You all know that here is a parallel. There is another couple in the Bible which was of old age and which was childless. This was Abraham. He was a childless man walking, and he told the Lord, this Eliezer from Damascus, the servant, will inherit all things what I have, because you let me be childless. Then came the hour and the day on which God spoke to Abraham. And you all know what is written of him. He is the father of faith, a man where was no hope and where was nothing to expect. By faith, he was holding fast because God has given him the promise. Beloved, people to whom God really has spoken, they have a firm anchor in their soul, which reaches behind the veil, namely into the Holy of Holies, there where the Ark of the Covenant for the covenant people of God is, and the Almighty watches over His word to fulfill it. Abraham went around. God saw him. For a long time He let him walk. And we emphasized it many times. God could have made the things differently, but in His unsearchable wisdom, He makes all things the way as He wants to make them. If Abraham would have had a son with Sarah when he was young, and she also was young, then it would have been a common thing, as it takes place daily, thousands of times. But God, with whom is nothing impossible, He lets so much time pass until He makes the impossible possible to give glory to His name. There was an Abraham. Here was a Zacharias. In both cases, God planned something special. Of Abraham, we read also in the New Testament, in Hebrews, in chapter 11, a very wonderful word. Here it is written from verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Beloved, you can read on if you like. Jacob was an old man. He was about to die. And he was leaning upon the top of his staff. And as it would behoove to an old man, he crossed his hands, leaning it upon the top of his staff, and the right hand he laid upon the younger, and the left hand he laid upon the older. And the father of these two sons watches this, becomes unwilling, and says, "My father, not so. This is the older. Lay on him the right hand." And what was the answer? Jacob was a prophet of God. He was not folding his hands or crossing them because he was old, but because he was a prophet and he knew that God planned something with the people of Israel and with the church. You will just now see it. Perhaps I should read it to you from Genesis chapter 48 and 49. Let me read it to you so that you know that it is written. Genesis 48 from verse 9, last part. "And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim of age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it." Perhaps we should stop here. He didn't want. He could not. From God it was led in such a way. And I say once again, whoever wants to understand God, he may not approach divine things with his intellect. There, where God starts to work, our intellect stands still. We may say, "Not so." And nevertheless, it must be so. Earthly speaking, Joseph was in the right. He wanted that the firstborn is blessed. You can read it. It's of course written in Exodus that God has said, "Go and stand before Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, let my firstborn son go." And if you take this to the prophet Hosea and then into the Gospel of Matthew, then it is written, "I have called my son out of Egypt." Beloved, the word of God is a prophetic word, a revelation word, in which the manifold wisdom of God with his people here on earth is expressed. Beloved, the word of God is a prophetic word, a revelation word, in which the manifold wisdom of God with his people here on earth is expressed. Joseph said, "My father, not so." And Israel, or Jacob, whatever you want to call him, he of course was both. First a deceiver, a Jacob, and then Israel, a contender for God. And this shows us all our old and earthly nature as a deceiver, as such who take others to the cleaners, and then at the end we are taken to the cleaners, and nevertheless as such who have wrestled with God until they won the victory. And if you read the story until the end, then comes something very wonderful. Jacob asked Joseph, and he said, "Swear unto me that you don't leave my body in Egypt." And do you know what happened? He had a special place on which Joseph should put his hand on, namely exactly on that place on which the Lord gave Jacob a blow when he wrestled with him. And he held his hip and he said, swear unto me, but put your hand upon my hip. Beloved, he knew precisely why he did that. This was the place. Jacob was still strong in himself. He was wrestling with the Lord, with the angel of the Lord. And the wrestling lasted until the morning, all the night through. And it looked like as it wouldn't take an end. And the angel of the Lord gave Jacob a blow on his hip, and already he sank down. Beloved, when we wrestle with God, then we must put up with it that he gives us a blow, and that we don't think that in our own strength we can stand our ground before God. There's no man who could stand his ground before God in his own strength. There were so many examples in the Holy Scripture. Joseph knew naturally how it should be. Jacob, as a prophet, I say once again, not as an old man. He was old, this is correct. His eyesight left him, but not the divine revelation of the will of God, beloved. The prophets could get 300, 500, 700 years old, and when their natural eyesight left them, then they nevertheless had heavenly and divine illumination in their hearts. This is a wonderful thing. Joseph said, my father, not so. Precisely so, as we don't want it. Right so it must be. Not my will, but thy will be done. Earthly speaking, it was understandable. Jacob, old man, he could not see anymore. Lays his hands across, lays them on his staff with which he walked. It looked like as he was resting. Beloved, the prophets of God and the men of God, they were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit until the last hour of their lives. They were holy men through whom God has spoken and worked. I have to think now on the prophet Elisha. You all know. He was laid into a grave. And after some time, somebody died. And he was then laid into the same grave. At that time, it was of course a tomb, which was not filled up, an open tomb. And when they laid this man into it, then he came back to life again. What was it? Although this man of God, earthly seen according to the body, he was dead, nevertheless, God proved himself to be alive at his grave. And he showed it clearly by the example that he is able to raise from the dead. Nothing is impossible with God. Beloved, we are serving the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. the same God who spoke with Zacharias, who sent him the angel Gabriel in the hour of prayer, who gave him the promise that a son would be born who should walk before the Lord. The Old Testament prophecy was in reach. It began to be fulfilled. Let us read here in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, perhaps the second part of verse 13. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Perhaps so far, this precious word of God. The time and hour was come in which Bible prophecies, to which fulfillment almost 4,000 years was waited for, and the hour was come. God's word began to be fulfilled. Today, in this service, I want to underline that the first coming of Christ, with the first messenger who was sent to forerun his first coming, ran parallel with one another. The same angel Gabriel, who announced that Christ should be born, gave the announcement that John should be born. God makes all things so as they are right, and this takes place at his time. And the thought comes to me, I cannot help myself, but we're living now before the second coming of the Lord. Again a generation in which two things run parallel with one another. The messenger whom God has sent to turn the hearts of the children of God from the Babylonian captivity and confusion, to lead them out and to present the heavenly bridegroom, a bride without spot and wrinkle. The sending of this man runs parallel with the preparation of the children of God unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we may not see it like this, and nevertheless, God has given his word and fulfills it before our eyes, but only to whom it is revealed by the Spirit, he can see it. You all know how difficult it is to tell the people in this time what God has done. And if I now make a remark here of the last weekend in London, then most surely not to judge someone. I spoke in an apostolic Pentecostal church, and after the sermon on that Sunday morning, the Lord's Supper took place. And beloved, my heart was very touched. I was sitting on the platform after the sermon, and I would have counted with much, but that what I saw there, with this I didn't count. A Lord's Supper was distributed as in the Roman Church. The same, how do you call it? The same wafer. Yeah. The same round wafer, which has the size like a coin. With a cross in the center. I took it home. You can imagine, after the sermon, the Lord's Supper took place. I was sitting on the platform. Now, what shall I do? Usually, I don't open my eyes, but there, I briefly looked whether nobody sees me, and then I put that wafer in my pocket. I could not. I was wrestling with me and with God, and I had to think on the word of the Lord and on Paul, who said, "What I received from the Lord, this I delivered unto you." In the same night in which the Lord was betrayed, he took the bread. He, of course, didn't take a coin. He took a bread. He thanked. He broke it and distributed it. And then came the many glasses, the size of a thimble. You all know the women, they were sewing and they had a thimble. And I hold that thing in my right hand. An embarrassing situation. People who say we are an apostolic Pentecostal church. Beloved, I'm not a judge. May God forgive me and all the others. But this thing will be true on the day of the Lord. All who don't believe the truth of the revealed word of God in this time, they will believe the lie, and God will send them strong delusion. And there seems no way out of it. The people then lift their hands, singing, jubilating, and praising God. And the Lord says, in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 7, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And he says, the word of God you made of none effect to introduce your traditions. Just read in Mark 7. What would the Lord say today? Exactly the same. What would Paul say today? Who received it from the Lord, beloved. As we emphasized many times, although we for a certain time are misjudged and misconceived, rejected, if this or that is said about us, when slanders and character assassinations of terrible kind, such as are not thinkable for unbelievers, when they come over us, then we may rejoice, because our redemption draws near. And we may thank our God to have been counted worthy to take reproach upon ourselves for the sake of the word of God in this time. Everyone who is not a danger for the enemy, him he lets walk. But there, where God plans something, there the enemy will do all kinds of things to destroy the work of God. Beloved, the enemy will never succeed in it. God has a way with his people, and we must come into this lockstep. And as then with Zacharias, all of the congregation were in prayer. Many can discuss, but really praying in such a way that God hears and that he can answer. So only those can pray whom God has laid it into their heart. God answered already. God has sent his servant and prophet. It's not always easy for us to make the people clear why we mention Brother Branham. Could you imagine all of the Old Testament without that the name of a Noah, of a Enoch, of a Moses, of an Abraham, of an Elijah, of a David, of an Isaiah would be mentioned? There where God does something, there also those are mentioned through whom he did something, because God uses men on this earth to work among men. Now you may say, in the New Testament, this is totally different. Precisely not, but in the same way, God had a Peter, a James, and a John. God had a Paul, and a Silas, a Barnabas, and a Philip, and who they were. And we cannot think of a book of Acts without that the names of the tools which God anointed and used are mentioned, and we are grateful for it, that it is so. God is not a nameless God, and God has no nameless servants. God has a people on earth, and he is not ashamed of his people. He sent his servants at all times to speak and to work. You all know that the Lord himself also revealed himself with a name. In the Old Testament, when the Lord appeared unto Moses, he said, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But by my name, Yahshua, or then Yahweh or Jehovah, doesn't matter at all. One doesn't need to argue about names. One just needs to understand the divine meaning of the revelation of the Lord. People who still have time to argue, they had no time yet to receive the divine revelation. This is true. We must decide what we actually want. And then God revealed himself to Moses with a name which was in connection with the saving of the people of Israel. And in the same way, he revealed himself in the New Testament with the redemptive name with which God established a relationship with mankind which was lost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God always revealed himself, and he took whom he liked. At that time, it was John. The Spirit of God rested upon him, and the word of God he preached, and he prepared the way for the Lord. In the same way, God, at the end of days, he sent his servant and prophet, Brother Branham. And we are not ashamed of it. Just the contrary. It is a great privilege for us to know what God has done and whom he used as a tool for it. But then we don't honor the tool, but we give all the glory to the living God who found men on earth who were so in connection with him that he could speak directly through them, working through them. What a grace that also we can have part in the last speaking and working of God. What a grace with open eyes and hearts to be under the sound of the Word of God, to receive what he has to say unto us in this time. Abraham, Zacharias, all men of God trusted the Lord. And I tell you today, God, with those men to whom he spoke and who spoke in the name of the Lord, he made history and he foretold. Today it's the church of the living God through which this plan of salvation and the speaking of God finds completion in the kingdom of God. But again, God had to use a prophet to put the promises for this time upon the lampstand. I come to the close and I just say the following. Every time when Brother Branham somewhere testifies of it and says that the angel of the Lord came to him in May 1946. He describes his height, his appearance, and his weight. Every time when he gives testimony of it, that the angel of the Lord in a visible shape came to him and spoke, "I come from the presence of God, and I was sent to you." And you have read it in his testimony. I believe this with all my heart, in the same way as I believe that an angel Gabriel, that he came to Zacharias, and that he came to the men of God whenever God liked it. So I believe that an angel of the Lord really came to Brother Branham. And when I read this here, he stood at the right hand of the altar. Zacharias knew precisely where he stood. He knew precisely what he said. Sometimes one hears people say, "The Lord spoke to me." They don't know at all where they were when he spoke, neither where the voice came from, neither what was said. True men of God know where they were, where the Lord was, what he said. And that was with Brother Branham the case. He was a biblical prophet, a man sent from God with the message to turn the hearts of the children of God back to God and his word. The thought which we didn't line out is that one that at the morning and at evening this sacrifice was given in connection with the lamps which were put upon the golden lampstand. 2 times in a day this altar was used, in the morning and in the evening. Beloved, the day of grace had a beginning and the day of grace will have an end. In the beginning, God has given that what was ordained for the New Testament Church. And at evening, at the end of the day of grace, all that what was at the beginning, He restored. And the altar of God was rebuilt. And the people of God gathers for prayer to hear the answer from God in obedience and faith. Not 4 times or 5 times on a day, but only 2 times, in the morning and in the evening. At evening time there shall be light, so that we have our way until the midnight hour illuminated, and not have to walk in darkness as the others who have no hope. All these things, we cannot line them out here. They are, of course, in the sermons and in the brochures. All who are ready to hear what God has spoken, they have the best opportunity to come to know what God has to say unto us in this time. May the Lord bless us. We are living now before the second coming of Christ. As they were waiting then 4,000 years and suddenly the answer came, so the New Testament Church waited almost 2,000 years. Now we are living in the time of the divine answer. There will be no delay anymore, but in the days when the voice of the seventh angel sounds, then the mystery of God is finished, as He declared it unto His servants, the prophets. And I heard today a Lutheran pastor in the radio, he said that the general word all Christians have, but the special word for the church has a prophet. I had to wipe my tears and I said, Amen. And I thought by myself, my Lord and my God. I noted down the name of the man and I thought probably one should tell him that what he preached, God already fulfilled before our eyes. The general prophetic word, this all of Christianity has, but the word of promise for the church in this time. He said literally, this only a prophet has. I said, Amen. And I wept. I wept like a child. I thought, Lord, there's a man who doesn't know what we know, who didn't hear what we have heard, and there he speaks it out. And we are sometimes ashamed to speak out what is the plain truth before God. And I was ashamed, and I was thanking God at the same time. And he really emphasized this. two or three times. Some of you probably have heard it. Beloved, with this we are coming to the close. The Lord has visited His people graciously. He has people who hear Him and who receive what He said. And to them we may belong by His grace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.